A man in his field and a woman in the outdoor kitchen. He plants a little seed, places it in the dark of the earth. She hides a little leaven, places it in the dough. And then what happens? The greatest of shrub trees grows, and the whole dough was leavened. The parables on the surface seem to be parables of hope and encouragement for these disciples who, remember, have had a terrible day, a really, really bad day. Remember how the day started? They were hungry and they were walking along on their way to the synagogue, and they picked some grain there along the side of the road, and the Pharisees saw it and accused them of wrongdoing because they were working on the Sabbath. And then they got to the synagogue, and Jesus saw the man with the withered hand, and his compassion came upon him, and he healed the man. And then the Pharisees were talking together about how to get rid of this man who healed on the Sabbath. And all day Jesus kept healing, and the Pharisees kept following him, and they started calling him the prince of demons, and they were taunting him to show a sign to them. And Jesus finally goes down by the sea, and the crowds gather around him, and they get so large that he has to go out in a boat. And he begins to teach parables about the kingdom of heaven. It is very likely that the disciples, after that long day, needed to hear a word of hope and of encouragement. The parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds and the wheat, and now Jesus tells the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven. They might be encouraging words to Jesus' followers. It only takes a little action to have ripples that make a big impact. And we know this to be true. I heard about a year ago, actually when I was in Portland at General Assembly, about a new tent that had been developed that folds in on itself into a backpack. And this tent, when it is popped up, is a solar conductor. And so because it is able to conduct solar energy, you can plug your cell phone into your tent and charge your cell phone. So it's easy to carry. It's solar energy. It's great for homeless people. But until this week, I hadn't known how it was developed. 12 teenagers from Los Angeles developed it as part of a competition for an MIT grant for students who were attempting to solve real-world problems with engineering-based solutions. 12 girls, teenagers, participated in a program called DIY Girls. It's a nonprofit in LA that teaches girls from low-income communities about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And DIY Girls in LA at the time had an interim executive director named Evelyn Gomez. Evelyn Gomez grew up in that community of LA. An impoverished, low-income, living-at-the-edge community. And she grew up and became an engineer who cared about her community enough to stay connected and then to leave her engineering career and serve as interim executive director of a nonprofit to teach those girls in that community the very things that she had to struggle to learn. And using her engineering background to change the lives of those girls. As an end result, it's changing the realities of life for people who are homeless. Just think about that. One person who affects the lives of 12 girls, who affect the lives of thousands of homeless people. Something small, agreeing to serve as an interim director of a nonprofit, becomes something large, impacting the lives of thousands of people. But remember, the parables are supposed to challenge us, So something small becoming something large doesn't really challenge us, does it? The parables are riddles designed to tease the mind into insight, causing us to look into the hidden aspects of our own values, of our own lives, and they bring to the surface unasked questions. They reveal the answers that we've always known but refused to acknowledge. Remember Dr. Amy Jill Levine's warning that our reaction to a parable should be one of resistance rather than acceptance. And she says, if we hear a parable and think, I really like that, that really seems to be true, or worse, fail to take any challenge, then we aren't listening closely enough, she says. So what is the challenge in the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven? Surely it isn't that a man in his field and a woman in her kitchen doing what they always do, what they know how to do, what seems good to them, have great impact. It seems to me that that's true, but that it is not the lesson for the hearer who is paying close attention, but the lesson for the Pharisees who were still in the crowd. In the parables of the sower that we have just prior to this, and in the weeds and wheat just prior to this, who is the farmer? God, right? God is the one who goes out to sow the seed, right? The good seed. It seems to me that God is the farmer who goes into the field and sows a seed. And God is the woman in the kitchen who hides the leaven in her dough. The farmer goes into the field and sows a mustard seed in the dark earth. And from that darkness, life will quietly germinate and eventually escape the darkness and reach toward the light of the sun. Are you a mustard seed? Planted in the darkness of the earth, quietly germinating, pushing toward the light, eager to grow into a, what did they grow into? A mustard bush. Now, a mustard bush? Why didn't Jesus compare us to the cedars of Lebanon? I mean, I like the cedars of Lebanon, or maybe the redwoods of California, or perhaps a noble fir. Wouldn't that be better than a mustard bush? Is this the kind of tree that the prophet Daniel was talking about when he described the kingdom of heaven as standing majestically at the center of the earth with a top that reached to heaven, a tree that was visible to the ends of the earth, abundant enough that the birds of the air nested in its branches, and from it all living things were fed? A mustard bush? A majestic mustard bush? Here's the challenge. The kingdom of heaven doesn't look like what we would expect it to look like. Jesus' parable hints that the kingdom is breaking into a world in a disarming and, for many, disenchanting form. We do not sing, "A mighty mustard bush is our God," now do we? Do we? The parable implies that the kingdom will not come as a mighty cedar astride the lofty mountain height, reaching the topmost part of the sky, but as a lowly mustard bush. And when it comes, it will come as a woman forms dough. She measured out the flour, 3 measures, and she began to work in the eggs and the milk. And as it began to form into dough, she took the starter out of the cupboard, the leavened dough, because they didn't sell yeast packets back then. You kept part of the dough every time you made bread, and you let it ferment in the cabinet, and then it would leaven your next dough. So she took the leaven from the cupboard and she hid it down in the center. And she continued to fold it over and over again, kneading it into a ball, allowing that starter to spread throughout the mixture. Now, why would she hide it? I think Jesus is reiterating the point that he made with the seed in the earth. The woman didn't take out the leavened dough and just add it onto the side of the mixture. She took the dough and she formed a pit in the middle, and she placed that leavened dough deep down in the center. There in the dark, the leavening agents begin to spread out and incorporate throughout. Dr. Douglas Hare says that the main point here is that God is at work even though human eyes may fail to perceive what is happening. There, in the dark, the leavened agents of God are at work as God kneads them and incorporates them with the unleavened dough until all three measures of flour are leavened. Some commentators link the hiding of the leaven with the Passover preparation, when all leavening agents were removed from the house. And others point out that yeast was considered a symbol of corruption in Jesus' day. So again, the product is a surprise. The kingdom of heaven is not unleavened manna that rained down from the skies from God to the Israelites in the wilderness. The kingdom of heaven is not what they expect it to be. It's leavened dough. Jesus tells the people for whom the saying, "a little yeast leavens the loaf," was equivalent to saying, "one bad apple spoils the bunch." But the kingdom of heaven is like that leavened yeast dough. It's unexpected, yet common. Or maybe it's unexpectedly common. The seed in the field, the leavened dough at a village oven. Dr. Amy Jill Levine writes, "The kingdom of heaven is found in what today we might call our own backyard. In the generosity of nature, doing what nature does. The seed gets planted and it grows. In the daily working of men and women, doing what they know how to do, what they are born to do, what they love to do. Don't ask," she says, "when the kingdom comes or where it is. The when is in its own good time. As long as it takes for a seed to sprout, and for dough to rise. The where is that it is already present in the world." This is the good news. The seed is planted. The dough is leavened. In you and in me. Even in the darkness of this world. And it will grow. It won't look like what we might think it would look like. It will come in common, unexpected places and ways. Yes, the kingdom will come. Thanks be to God. Amen.